Ladies and gentlemen, step right up. Let's go see the elephant. We're on a roll.
Welcome to Friday, ladies and gentlemen. It is time to celebrate. Why? Because early voting ends this Sunday. Yes, finally get that out of the way. Get to the real election days that seem to matter around here. And that means that we're getting close to the real election day. Do you realize we're only 73 days away from the general election? And Trump is on a turnaround tour, ladies and gentlemen. If you've been looking at what he's been doing lately, the poll numbers are starting to get that upward mobility. And as a result, Hillary's are getting a little shaky. And now you can read into that expression of shaky whatever you will at this point in time. As we've been saying on here, there might be some medical conditions involved. And my favorite, Labor Day is just around the corner, which is when things really start to happen because people will start to pay attention and really get involved into the politics of the general election. So this is when it really starts to count. So this is after Labor Day. Start talking about who you want, what you want, where you want, and start talking about the issues because that's when it really begins to count. And I'm no expert on it, but the man across the table from me is Mr. Christopher Hart, your host.
Thank you, Dr. K. That's right. It's Friday. Dr. Ken Viick is here with us today. And, yeah, we can talk about Hillary's health, and we don't have to worry about getting fired around here like Dr. Drew. Did you hear about that?
No, I did not.
Yeah, Dr. Drew
Pinsky?
Pinsky. His show has been canceled a mere 8 days after he dared question Hillary Clinton's health. How about that?
But isn't he a doctor?
Yeah.
Don't you think he'd have some sort of medical opinion that might be valid?
Don't you think that's why he got canceled? Ain't gonna happen to us, though, folks. That's right. You got the American Adversaries Prime Time Drive Time Show coming to you live on FM 105.5 and AM 660. The Answer. We're here live for the full 2 hours tonight. The Rays are playing in Houston, so they'll be playing an hour behind us here, so we don't have to worry about any interruptions. And speaking of the people you want to have around, we got them right here in the studio. Of course, Dr. Ken Viick. And we got, of course, now the commanding general of the American Adversaries Army sitting in once again with us, Colonel Danny McKnight. Colonel McKnight, always great to see you.
Always great to be here. Good to see Ken again. It's been a while since I've seen
you. Yeah, been a while. Been a while.
Yeah. So, like I said, he's going to be with us the whole show. You can join us at any time in the next 2 hours by calling us at 407-774-8255. The colonel brought his lovely wife, Linda. And she was anticipating talking some Penn State college football with McBath, but he didn't show up tonight. He's attending to family business, but affairs, you might say. But he is, of course, missing being here with us. But as I said, you can join us at any time. We got a lot to talk about with the colonel and about things going on. We'll be talking a little bit about Hillary's health here shortly. First of all, Colonel, you spoke somewhere this morning, didn't you?
Yes, I did. I spoke over at the Rosen and Shingle Creek Hotel there, which is awesome.
Yeah, all of them are beautiful place.
Yeah. And I did the Realtors Conference, and I got to talk on leadership, though. Ah. And it's interesting because, you know, I said a few things about Hillary.
Ooh.
You think they'll fire me? Oh, that's right. Nobody can fire me, can they?
They can't fire me, can they?
Sorry. The only person that can fire me is sitting next to me, my wife, and I don't think she's ready to do that yet. I asked some very interesting questions, and I'm sure we'll get a chance to talk about it a little bit. But health, yeah, mental health, you know, as well as physical health, yeah, there's probably some problems there.
There's
definitely a lot of pathology there.
Oh, boy. You could write a book on that case.
Yep.
But the atmosphere is getting pretty poisoned out there, you might say.
It's getting toxic.
Yeah, we said. I know we said long ago that this was going to be a nasty and brutal election season, and it certainly is. And the difference this time around, though, is that they got in Donald Trump somebody who's fighting back. It may get ugly. It may not be the prettiest thing. But it's mainly, in my opinion, because of the Democrats. Mm-hmm. Hillary Clinton yesterday gave this speech where she talked about now the new catchphrase.
Oh, yeah.
The alt-right. Mm-hmm. All right. ALT-RIGHT. And there is no real definition, so to speak, as to what the alt-right is. In essence, though, what they want us to believe is that the alt-right is the far-right wackos, racists, bigots, homophobes, Islamophobes, et al. Here's the thing, though, and I believe we mentioned this on the show yesterday. What they are doing and is lumping all conservatives or all supporters right now of Donald Trump in that. Mm. All right. That is the goal. As I said on the show yesterday, this is what I'm calling, Dr. K. I know you teach psychology, not political science, but yeah. I was holding a little political science lesson here yesterday. And I was pointing out the difference between what I call formula politics and policy politics.
Okay.
And the Democrats practice formula politics. And the formula is based on a very simple equation. And they boil all issues, everything that comes up in the political realm, pretty much everything that comes up in the world, they boil down to this one simple equation. And that is good versus evil. I guess it's not really an equation, but it's a confrontation. Everything is, to them, good versus evil. That is the formula. They may not see everything as good versus evil, say, in the sense of the biblical sense, mm-hmm. all right? But they boil all political issues down into that, and once they establish the demarcations, if you will, they put themselves on the side of the good and always put the Republicans on the side of the evil, you see? Mm-hmm. And that is what they are going about here doing right now. Now, the joke on a lot of the conservative brainiacs out there, and I'm not going to mention any names, but you'll find them up and down the dial, is that, oh, this is because of Donald Trump. It's because of Donald Trump. He went and shot off his big mouth, and now he's changing his mind about this, and he's doing that, and, oh, it's all because of Donald. This is the formula. This mm-hmm. is how it works. They did the same thing. They tried to do it to Reagan. They did the same thing to Bush. And then to Dole, Bush, McCain.
Romney was the big one, yeah.
Right. Remember, Romney killed – he was responsible for somebody's wife or husband dying of cancer.
Yeah.
Remember that? This is the formula.
Mm-hmm.
It's always boiled down to that simple formula. And see, this was – This attack by Hillary Clinton yesterday, though, and coupled with the release of the web video showing some supposedly Ku Klux Klan people, I don't know if they're real people or not, they may just be actors, but saying that they support Donald Trump, and it's because he thinks like we do. This is an attempt to, first of all, there's two things at work here. The problem they have with the formula this time is that their candidate, Hillary Clinton, is hard not to see as the evil, right?
Mm, right.
All right. She's the bona fide established liar. We can go down the list. Benghazi, right? We can go down the list. So she's already way, and let's look at the poll numbers with her approval and dishonesty and all that stuff. She's already way down the spectrum toward evil, right? Mm-hmm. So you really got to go over the top to outdo her. You follow what I'm saying here?
Mm-hmm.
Trump has to be made really, really, really bad to make her look in any way good. Mm-hmm. You follow what I'm trying to say here?
Yep.
So they really have to pour on the coal with the formula this time. And that's what they're doing. And this is where we get to the alt-right. because the alt-right are supposed to be, as I said, the bigots and all this, and the KKK and everything. And, of course, the KKK was started by the Democratic Party, but I don't want to get into that. This is an over-the-top attempt to make Trump look really bad because Hillary looks bad herself and because Trump is fighting back. Now, Colonel, one of the things that she said out of all of this, him fighting back and what's going on here, is that he doesn't have the temperament to be commander-in-chief. Your thoughts?
Well, I think his temperament is not a problem personally. I think he has done what he's done aggressively, a little over the top on purpose.
Yep.
And I think he's got people's attention. And I think that now the way he's handling it is going to be okay. But his temperament is not going to guide the military. He's going to surround himself with the right people and let them guide the military because he knows that that's not what he does. He's never done that. And he's a smart man. And the worst thing he could do is say, yeah, I'll show him. I'll make the military the right. He won't do that. He will have the right people. His temperament will allow that to happen. And if you want to look at the other side of the house and you look at Hillary Clinton,
I was going to be,
you can already look at what she has done to the military as a Secretary of State. You can look at Benghazi and get your answer. And you can look at the other people that have now had to respond to her, like General Colin Powell had to.
Yep.
When she said, well, he messed up, you know, when he was a secretary. Yeah.
Yeah, it was
he
old,
didn't take it kindly, did he?
No.
Yeah. And so her temperament, I trust her about as much as I trust a dog catcher because she doesn't have a clue. She gets so upset when Donald Trump says something. And he's exactly right when he says it. Yep. But she gets so anxious. Her temperament would be the worst I can imagine in the White House.
Yeah.
I really believe that.
Yeah, and you just mentioned something when he's certain things that he says. Another reason why they had to respond so viciously yesterday with her speech, which was made to basically children in the audience, by the way, is because he has actually dared go after African-American voters. And in doing so, explain, you know, what have the Democrats done for you lately, right?
That's right. That's what he said. He's right.
Are you paying attention?
He's right.
What have you got to lose? That is a very powerful argument. Those words carry a lot of weight and authority because there is so much brutal truth out there every weekend.
Yeah.
You know, we hear the statistics out of Chicago. He says, you walk down the street, you get shot. And people look in the news, 30 people dead in Chicago over 3 days.
Yeah, I know. And it's like 9,000 since Obama's been president.
Yeah.
Oh, isn't that amazing? In his own city,
And that's why they're saying his race relations, his policy is a little mixed.
Yes, exactly.
Just a mix.
And get this. You'll appreciate this, being a military man. Since he's been president, more black men have been killed. Black men have been killed in Chicago than we have lost in Iraq and Afghanistan.
That's right.
And by the way, we do have boots on the ground back now in Iraq.
Well, we do.
Yeah.
What an amazing concept.
Yeah. How'd that happen?
Yeah.
Jeez.
Yeah.
Something they said we should never do. And as you know, for a long time, I've been saying that was the only way we were going to fix it and stop it. Mm. And I still believe that. Even though I don't like the fact they have to be there, but they got to if we're going to stop it.
Well, it's obvious them not being there ain't getting the job done, is it?
Exactly right.
All right.
Yeah.
Let's take Brad's phone call, and then we'll have to take a break. But, Brad, thank you for being out there. Appreciate your call tonight.
Oh, good afternoon, fellas. Interesting observation. As you know, a lot of these so-called journalists, Anderson Cooper and the like, have all publicly asked Donald Trump to denounce people like David Duke or any other racist that they can come up with.
Right.
Yet not a single one has even approached Hillary Clinton about some of the most famous racists in her party. And you can go to YouTube and just put on all the disgusting things these trio have said of Al Sharpton, Louis Farrakhan, and Jeremiah Wright. And when you read and when you listen to what these famous trio of racists have said, it'll make your stomach curl. And yet not one journalist has said, Hillary, would you publicly denounce these guys? Because each of them fully supports you. Each of them is a Democrat. And each of them is going to enthusiastically vote for you. Does that not just show the naked bias in our disgusting media nowadays?
Oh, it is just absolutely glaring. I mean, now they're even saying, some of them, like Charlie Rose, are admitting openly that they're biased, and Bill Moyer, and that it is their duty as journalists to be so, because Donald Trump is such an evil person. You see, once again, it's the formula at work here. They are applying the formula. Yeah. And, you're absolutely right. As a matter of fact, I was watching The Morning Joke with Joe Scargirl this morning, and it was his day off, but he came back he was at a remote location, but he was there long enough to ask Hillary Clinton a few questions. And it was a joke, because it was basically a bunch of softball questions, and at one point she was talking about, of course, Trump being a racist, and part of her proof was, and he was the one who questioned whether President Obama was born in America. He was a birther. He was
a birther.
Well, where do you think the birther movement started? With Hillary Clinton's campaign. Yep. Now, Joe Scargirl knows this, because he was just talking about this not 2 weeks ago on his show. Do you think that he asked her anything about that, Brad? Do you think that he brought that point up with Hillary Clinton while he had her on the air? Oh, no, he did not. He let her walk right through that and claim that it was Donald Trump who was the birther person. It was the Hillary Clinton that was the originators, and they used it all throughout her campaign and portrayed him as a Muslim.
Well, come on. You got to give Joe some credit. At least he asked the questions that she sent him to ask her.
He did a good job at that. Yeah, it was funny, too, because he goes, she was so brave to come on here.
All right.
Yeah, because they were criticizing her earlier in the week. And then, of course, she comes on and just has her nice little love fest party, you know, with them all.
Yeah.
But they're worried. Believe me, they are worried. All right. Don't worry, because we're going to be right back after this short break with more of the American Adversaries. Colonel Danny McKnight with us here today.
Hello, my name is Abby Sanchez. I'm a 26-year veteran teacher, and I'm running for Seminole County School Board. Currently, there is no one on our school board with teaching experience or hands-on knowledge about what goes on in our classrooms. We are no longer an A-rated school district. We're spending too much time teaching to the test. Let's have common sense, not common core. Let's get back to the basics. Let's spend our tax-paying dollars wisely. Please vote for Abby Sanchez for your Seminole County School Board District 3 seat. Visit me at VoteAbbySanchez.com. Political advertisement paid for and approved by Abby Sanchez for Seminole County School Board.
The Seminole County Clerk of Court and Comptroller is the elected office that's entrusted to protect the citizens against government waste, fraud, and abuse. The Clerk of Court also holds the checkbook of the County Commission to keep them accountable to the taxpayers for our hard-earned tax dollars. No other candidate for Clerk of Court has a better track record of fighting government waste in Seminole County than Grant Malloy.
I like the fact that he's not an establishment guy. There's no bull with this guy. He actually does have a backbone.
Grant Malloy is the former leader of the Citizen Watchdog group Citizens Against Government Waste. As a county commissioner, Grant Malloy voted against every taxpayer-funded politician trip to Europe and even refused to accept a government pension.
He's different in the sense that his word is his bond. There's no spinning the situation. There's no telling you don't understand. He is a man of his word.
Elect a proven watchdog to the office that serves as our watchdog over government spending. Vote Grant Malloy, Clerk of Court. Political advertisement paid for and approved by Grant Malloy, Republican for Seminole County Clerk of Court and Comptroller.
Folks, if you drive a Mercedes-Benz, you need to know Jerry Shepard of Jerry's Mercedes-Benz Service. Jerry owns and operates a state-of-the-art service center. Because you drive a Mercedes, you obviously care about quality workmanship. That's what you'll find at Jerry's. When you need expert maintenance or repair work and want it at the best price, call Jerry's at 407-366-6499. They'll have your Mercedes humming while you skip those high dealer rates. For the dealership alternative, call 407-366-6499, jerrysmb.com.
What's it like on I-4? We've got the answer. Traffic you can trust. Answer Traffic now. From your answer traffic center, it's a Friday afternoon on I-4, and we've got some heavy spots on I-4 eastbound from Osceola Parkway to Central Florida Parkway. You're slow, but heavy from John Young Parkway to 436. 436 to 434 is slow and slow at the bridge. Westbound on the bridge, Princeton to Michigan, John Young Parkway to the Turnpike, Sand Lake to 535 and past 192. 417 northbound, an accident before the beach line has a lane block. New crashes, Dean Road at the 408 and Kennedy Boulevard at Forest City Road. I'm Mick Dolan, FM 105.5 and AM 660, The Answer.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. It is 26 minutes after the hour here, and you can reach us at 407-774-8255. Dr. Ken sitting here on this side of the desk. We've got a whole bunch of people in the studio today. We've been talking about some nice stuff, and we're just going to continue with this. We've been joined by Aubrey Kahn now.
Yeah, there he is.
The show's about to get a little crazy, ladies and gentlemen. I have no idea why it happens, but when the two of us get together, Chris tends to lose control.
Look out.
Gotta love it.
Colonel Dan McKnight is here, and his lovely wife, Linda. Indeed. She's sitting over there.
Got some backup tonight. All right, welcome back to the show. And Aubrey, you have a question for the Colonel here.
Yes, I have a question for the Colonel.
Which he actually got asked earlier today at a conference.
Well, I wasn't there. I'm assuming, which conference were you at?
NAR? They had the big realtors conference today.
Down here in Orlando, National Association of Realtors.
Shingle Creek. Yes, they did.
Yeah,
I
didn't go.
Course.
I was too busy.
Yeah.
But my question for you is, what advice would you give to Donald Trump, should he become president, with regards to rebuilding the military to the force that we have or should have? Because we know that whatever we do or whatever he does, the liberals are going to be screaming about the military-industrial complex and the wasting of money. What advice would you give Donald Trump?
It really would be fairly simple to make it work. The first thing we've got to do to recover militarily is we've got to get the force structure back. We're at a level right now that it is fearful to me to think about if we had to fight again over there in Iraq, Iran, Afghanistan, and we still had to worry about North Korea or something of that nature. We don't have the force to do that.
We don't have the manpower.
We can't do it. So what we've got to do is we've got to get the Army back up to a correct number. We're going below 420,000 is what's going to happen in the Army, and that's ridiculous. The Air Force, the Navy, Marine, all of them have been personnel-wise just devastated. And what we also lost was not just people. We lost some of the experienced senior people.
Right.
And I'm not talking about generals. I don't worry about the generals. I worry about the captains, the majors, the master sergeants, the sergeant majors, and them. And we have lost experience beyond belief because they were made to leave. They were said, you've got 20 years, you're out of here.
Right.
You know? Some of them didn't even get 20. So I think the people part is the first thing to fix, because if we're going to fix it, we start with that, and then we start taking care of some of the equipment problems that we have today. We've got, as we all know, we have battleships that have been mothballed.
Right.
Aircraft carriers.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have that like we should. We don't have the aircraft capable of fighting a war right now.
Right. They're stripping parts from existing aircraft to repair others.
So I think Donald Trump needs to put the right person around him, person or persons, to do that and say, go do it. He doesn't have a military background. He's never claimed he does. I think he's a smart enough man to say, I want to build it back up, but I'm not the guy, but I've got the right people to do it.
Right.
And that I think we can.
All right. We got the right people here, too. You can be a part of the show. We'll be right back.
FM 105.5 and AM 660. The Answer.
With SRN News, I'm
on the way.
You're listening to The American Adversaries, if you can take it.
Well, we're back from the bottom of the hour break. It is 34 minutes after the hour. Come on, give us a call, 407-774-8255. If you've got a lot of talent sitting at this desk, you can ask a lot of questions on anything from the military to about your house to about politics to about psychology. And then, of course, Linda is going to keep us all straight here and make sure that we give correct answers. So it's best time to call.
All right, that's right. That's Dr. K. Got Aubrey Kahn in the studio, the commanding general of the American Adversaries Army, Colonel Danny McKnight. Also the author of the great book, Streets of Mogadishu, and you really need a copy of that. If you don't have one, you can get it at his website. We're linked it to it as well on our website, but his website is DannyMcKnight.com. All right, we do have a caller on the line, and you can be a caller too at 407-774-8255. It is Warren. How you doing tonight, Warren?
Yeah, how are you guys tonight?
Excellent, sir.
Having fun.
Hillary's getting herself in deeper and deeper here.
How so?
Okay, well, she's been, of course, calling Mr. Trump a racist and everything else under the sun.
Yep.
And I've checked this out on Snopes, and apparently there are verified pictures of her kissing Mr. David Duke back when, which I'm sure he's going to be using in his advertising as he fights fire with fire. Because
I hope so. And I also hope that Donald Trump or Steve Bannon or whoever's running his putting together his commercials, you know, she was very complimentary of former Senator Robert Byrd.
Oh, yeah.
You remember Robert
Byrd? That was her mentor.
That's
oh,
right.
Oh, yeah, it was Robert Byrd that she's kissing.
Okay, right? All right.
Robert Byrd, yeah. No, not David right. Duke. Yeah,
yeah, I hadn't heard about David Duke, but Robert Byrd, she is. She's kissing him. There's videos of her effusive with praise of him, all the great things that he's done for West Virginia, where he was the senator for so long. By the way, he was also originally a congressman from West Virginia, and when he entered the Congress from West Virginia, he was still in the Ku Klux Klan. Mm-hmm. She palled around with an honest-to-God member of the Ku Klux Klan. How come no one in the media is asking her to renounce her past, saying, oh, well, Mrs. Clinton, we've seen this cool video that you've got up on the website, but what about when you were with Robert Byrd? Are you prepared to denounce him being in the Ku Klux Klan, or how do you want to explain that? Didn't you know at the time? Yeah. Were you stupid?
Yeah. I wonder if any of our listeners out there know how high up in the organization Robert Byrd became. That'd be a good trivia question.
He was high up there.
I mean, he was.
He had one.
Wonder if they know.
He had one of them fancy titles. Didn't
yeah,
he?
Yes, he did.
Well, see, as
like Grand Poobah.
Yeah, as I understood it, she was associated with the KKK because she knew that they wore stuff over their heads, and she needed her face covered the best she could.
So. Oh man!
All right. Got some competition in here for you two tonight.
Oh, come on now. That going for that coyote ugly is easy.
All right. We've got Lena on the line. Let's get Lena in here. Lena, thank you for calling tonight. We appreciate your being out there.
Can you hear me?
We can. Yes ma'am.
Yes, we can.
Go right ahead.
Okay. I just wanted to say about the military thing, what to advise Trump. Well, I don't think we really need to worry too much because he is running on that platform that he wants to build strong military. So see, if he does win the election, which I'm sure he is going to, he's going to have the mandate. And as far as surrounding with the good people around him, I don't think he would have built that empire without surrounding good people around him, because you can't do everything by yourself. So he kind of pretty much, I think he knows what to do.
Well, Lena, I agree with you. I think he does know, and I think the number one thing that he knows is because he is a very smart man, he is going to surround himself with those good people, and they're going to take care of business just like he wants them to.
Yep.
I know, and I tell you, I've been speaking to people. Actually, people have been talking to me just coming out of woodwork and probably it's anecdotal. But everybody, they start with, oh, we don't like what he says, but I think we really need the person like him in the White House.
Amen.
I'm hearing so much of this stuff. It is unbelievable.
Yep. Well, that's fantastic. Thank you, Lena. I appreciate you calling.
All right. Thank you.
You're welcome. And there's some polling that would actually indicate that she's quite correct about a number of things. For instance, one of the polls, most of the polls that you hear For instance, I think there's a Quinnipiac poll out, nationwide poll that shows Hillary ahead by about 10 points. Mm-hmm. All right. But the real clear, and there are several others like that. But there's the real clear politics moving average of polls. And they don't, real clear politics doesn't poll anybody. They just take the poll results and combine them and average them out. Now, that poll average is showing Hillary Clinton with a 6-point lead, 47 to 41. Now, the media is touting polls that say she has a 10-point lead. The average is 6. Now, we're going to have a little arithmetic class here today, or is it mathematics? What does that tell you if the average is 6 and they're touting numbers that say 10? The average is 6. Well, you're nodding your head.
Yeah.
Are you going to raise your hand? Do you want to answer?
No, I know the answer. I mean, come on.
If the average is 6, there has to be a counterbalance to the 10s,
mm-hmm.
right? And
correct.
That counterbalance would be what, 4?
4.
So there are a lot of polls out there that show this race at the margin
no,
of error.
No, not 4. 2.
Okay, 2. All right, yeah, the difference would be 2. So
no, the difference would be, no, the, okay, sorry, the difference would be 4. My apologies.
Yeah, all right.
I was thinking that the actual
just doing English math, sorry.
The poll results, sorry.
The,
I'm thinking too much of Mr. Quigg.
All right, so the average is 6. We have one side of the average, which is 10. Mm. What would the other side of the average be?
2.
No, 2. It would be 4.
Be 4.
One side, no, wait, one side of the average
the total
is 10. No, it would be 2.
Thank
that's
you.
Right. Two. Yeah, because the difference between 6 and 10 is 4.
Right.
So,
six minus four is 2.
Exactly.
See, I'm smarter than the average bear.
So the professor got it wrong.
Asking the question wrong.
All right. But the point is, that means there are that many polls, however many there are out there that show her around 8 or 10 in the lead, there are that many that show this race within 2 or 3 points.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the bottom line here. So the polls are squirrely. They're all over the place. But then if you look at the who has got the enthusiasm on their side, I believe that it is clearly Trump that has the enthusiasm on his side. He can put together a rally in 2 days or less and have 10 or 12,000 people there. She can't put together a rally in a week's time.
Well, it depends how much she's prepared to pay the people to come to the rally.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, there's that. That you can see, you have to get the
forms. Remember,
you got to fill the forms out, and that slows the process
remember
down.
Remember, at their convention, they were paying people $50 a day to sit in the chairs.
Yeah. Well, I heard a good one to describe the way she draws people to her rallies. She can't draw flies to a church picnic.
But she does wear an oven glove.
She wears things that definitely look like that. Colonel, you recently were with Chris Tonto Peronto, right?
Yes.
And just give us a little rundown of what that was all about.
Well, it was a gigantic Republican meeting over in
Daytona.
Daytona. I'm trying to remember there was which place I was. Yeah. And Linda and I went to it. We had our tickets to go, and we were pleased to be able to go. And we're getting ready. We're hanging around outside waiting for the doors open. And guess who came and opened the door for us? Chris Tonto Peronto. And so we went in and spent the evening, spending their time with him. Just he was busy, busy with people. But he spoke, and he pulls no punches. He tells it like it is. And he was extremely well-received, to put it politely. Well, I think we left there at about 11 o'clock at night, and then we drove him to the Orlando airport so he could fly out the next morning. But Chris is absolutely committed to making sure people understand what Hillary Clinton did to him and his friends. And we're going to be with him again in Lakeland in September. And then he and I are going to be sharing a stage in Portsmouth, New Hampshire in October, and we're not going to let up. And Chris is the guy. I've heard the other guys, but Chris is the most down-to-earth, telling it like it is, and people need to listen to Chris Tonto Peronto. Let me tell you, they do.
Well, you and he and the others in that were with you and the others that were with him have something very much in common. And that is that the Clintons were in charge when you guys were in harm's way, and a lot of people died unnecessarily both times as a result of their, tampering with things that they had no knowledge of what they were really doing.
See, and that's exactly the point. When President Clinton was in office, and this was his first 8-9 months, he didn't have a clue about how to use the military. And unfortunately, he didn't surround himself with the right people that helped do it either.
Right.
When you got Madeleine Albright as your, you know, ambassador to the United Nations, I mean, that tells you something right there as a start. So it's interesting you say that, because in that we mentioned earlier, I spoke over at the big realtors conference that they got going this week over there. And in the audience of my talk, a gentleman asked me, he says, I want to ask you this, and I hope you'll be able to willing to give me an answer. I said, you ask me a question, I'll give you an answer. I don't know if you're going to like it, but I'll give you an answer.
No, this was in front of the whole crowd?
Oh, yeah. A couple hundred people in that room
so
at that time.
So it wasn't afterwards and just the two of you?
Oh, no. He says, if you had to vote right now, who would you vote for? I said, well, there's only two candidates out there that we can choose from. And I told him that I have already seen and felt what the Clintons can do with their incompetency, especially with handling our military. I'll be doggone if I'm going to dare let that happen again. So, no, I won't let the Clintons do it. I'll vote for Donald Trump. And that is what I said in front of everybody.
What was the reaction? You don't mind me asking.
Got a lot of claps, in all honesty, I recall. Right, Linda? A lot of clapping.
Yeah?
Yeah. So, you know, and I think a few people actually left after that because I probably offended them. But if that offended them, they didn't need to hear me speak anyway. Because they got their head up their butt or something. I don't know. You know?
but kind of hard to hear when it's up there, too.
If you want to leave, leave. I don't care. I'm not going to change what I say. You know. So it was an interesting session today that I had because I talked heavily about leadership and political correctness. And we know how deadly political correctness is.
As a matter of fact, and I wish I had a copy of your book right here in front of me, if you would once again remind our audience – Streets of Mogadishu is the title, the subtitle, please.
Leadership at its best, talking about by the soldiers and fighting in the streets. Political correctness at its worst. And that's aimed at the Clinton administration.
That's because Colonel McKnight is a straight talker when it comes to the Clinton administration and their manipulation of actually from the very start of the mission itself.
Yeah,
by manipulating who would go and who wouldn't go, rather than just telling the military, this is what we want done.
Go do it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, that's the kind of guy, say, Trump is.
That's what I think.
And that's the kind of guy Reagan was. All right, here's what I want done. Do it.
Yeah.
Right? What do you need?
Mm-hmm.
Right? You know, let me just tell you a little something. When I was fresh out of college, I was kind of, you know, I had a degree in philosophy and political science, and I was a little bit lost because I had originally intended maybe to go to law school. And then after I decided I didn't want to be a lawyer, I thought maybe I'd be a professor. And then I decided I would never last in an academic environment when I had to put up with a bunch of idiots, you know, who were supposedly better than me. And so I was kind of looking for a job, and a buddy of mine got me a job working for a convention production company. Now, he and his buddies were in this job because they had been basically roadies and they had been in theater in high school and stuff. And I had no clue whatsoever about any of this part of the business. Ken, maybe you can relate to this, right?
Oh, yeah.
All right. And so when they hired me, and they hired me to be the warehouse manager, and eventually I became the production manager. And in both positions, basically, it was my job to make sure that the right people, the right equipment got to the right place at the right time, and they knew what the hell they were supposed to do when they got there.
Yep.
Right? But I had no clue about the business. So you know what I did? I found who were the people that did know what to do and that I could work with because they didn't think that they were, because they knew more than me, that I was, you know, somehow it's going to affect our relationship. They were just cool with it, right? Mm-hmm. They were actually more cool with me than having a manager who knew everything. Because I would say, I would go up to the audio guy and I would say, look, we're going to be doing this at the Palace Hotel down there. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be in front of 3,000 people. I need you to put me together a system, okay? And if you don't have everything you need, let me know what you need. And I'd go and walk away and let them do it. They loved it. Mm-hmm. They loved it because they didn't have a micromanager. Mm-hmm. That's what true leadership, in my opinion, is.
I do, too. It is. It's really that simple. Isn't that amazing? It's such a simple thing.
Delegate yourself away from work.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. You know, it really is. It's such a simple thing.
And what you're doing also, and correct me if I'm wrong, Colonel, because I think you would have seen this up close, is that you're developing that leadership down the line.
Yeah. That's one of your responsibilities as a leader, is to develop the ones behind you so that when you move on, everything keeps going. Because they have learned how to do it. It is the most simple thing on the face of the earth, and we have leaders right now that are more interested in being politically correct. You know, they don't want to offend people and stuff like that. And, boy, can you imagine what happens if Hillary Clinton gets in office?
I do that with my students when they come in to turn in a paper, and I'll take it and I'll say to them, I said, is this the best you can do? Really? And they'll go, no, and they take the paper and walk away. I haven't read the paper yet. And they'll come back. Is that the best you can do? Well, I guess if I spend a little bit more time, and they take it, they go back. And then finally, it's like, is that the best you can do? And they went, yep. I'm like, now I'll accept your paper.
Yeah.
I haven't told them what to do with it. I haven't looked at it.
Yeah.
But, you know, they went back and did it themselves.
Make them work a little
more
on it. That's right.
Yep.
Challenge people or give them a challenge.
Mm-hmm.
They will usually rise to it.
Yep.
All right, we have a challenge because we got another break. We got to take. When we come back, we'll continue this conversation, and hope you'll be with us.
All right. I'm standing here, the sun comes back around.
Okay, welcome back to the show, folks. I don't know if anybody's ever quite put it this way, but when I listen to that song, sometimes I think, you know, as Secretary of State, she's responsible, we know, for the death of four people. Imagine what she could do as president. And I'm talking about Americans.
What would that matter now?
Let me rethink and rephrase this, because those are just American lives.
Mm-hmm.
Think of all the tens of thousands of, say, Libyans and Syrians and Iraqis who are dead because of decisions that she either directly made herself or participated in advising the president to make.
Or contributions she took to look the other way.
Exactly. Exactly my point. Okay, I want a couple of quick announcements here, and then we're going to go back to the phone lines. 407-774-8255 is the number. Have you been missing Carl Jackson? Yeah, I have too. You can get a little bit of a Carl Jackson fix tomorrow morning on Fox 35. He'll be on at about 8:10 tomorrow morning. That's Fox 35, Carl Jackson talking politics. 8:10 tomorrow morning, Fox 35. And then he'll be back again also on Wednesday morning at 7:05 on Fox 35. 7:05 Wednesday, 8:10 tomorrow morning, our man Carl Jackson. Also, we're going to have some goodies to give away a little bit later on in the show.
Ooh,
right?
Fun stuff.
That's right. We've got another book by Tony Dungy to give away.
Mm.
And have you been feeling labor pains?
Labor pains?
Well, you might feel them if you go to the wrestling matches. They're calling labor pains.
Yep.
Coming up Tuesday. That's Election Day, by the way. Tuesday, August the 30th. We had Alex Porto on the show with us last week with the B. Brian Blair, Killer B.
Great show.
And it was a lot of fun, and dinner was a lot of fun, too.
Yep.
And but we're going to have some tickets to Labor Pains to give away. All right? We'll tell you when and where that is a little bit later on when we deal with those tickets. In the meantime, JJ is on the line. Thanks for calling, JJ.
Yeah, hi, guys. I just wanted to say, Colonel, you had said, imagine what it would be like under Hillary. And I think that's the problem. Most people aren't thinking, even, you know, I hope people go see that movie, but she, I think she's going to turn our country into a police state. And I think that the press ought to be starting to see that this, her treatment for the last, since December, is a preview of things to come. I mean, there's going to be more restriction of the press. Remember when she had that? Last year, she was around, Iowa State Fair, and she had the press roped off from being so many feet from her.
Yeah, like a bunch of kindergartners, yeah.
Yeah, maybe she really probably does have a medical device. I think she's wearing her clothes really very baggy because of that. I don't know what kind of device it is, but I will be interested to hear Dr. Noel come back on your show and what he's found since the last time. But she... is always creating seeds of doubt by saying, oh, you know, where there's smoke, there, she said it backwards, because there's no fire, and it reminded me, you know, about her emails, and but it reminded me of her saying during Benghazi, the fog of war, in the fog of war, we just didn't know. They're always claiming such ignorance when they're in, that's their job.
Yeah, oh, she did. She knew what was going on. As a matter of fact, we know from the emails that she, you know, the fact that she was, they were having the Marines change their clothes. Yeah. You remember that?
Right.
That meant that there was obviously some degree of attention being paid to this, right? There was some sort of debate going on that they had these guys change their clothes, well, not one, two, three, four, but four times.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So there was evidently some sort of argument going on.
Yeah, and Colonel, there's something that happened.
Thanks,
to
JJ.
You, that I just thought was watching the 13 hours when they took your plane away. That was so detrimental to your mission. How important would it have been, or how different would it have been, had the aircraft carriers been able to scramble a couple of jets and have them do a low flyover
in Benghazi?
In Benghazi.
Oh, I'm talking to Chris Peranto, and knowing what I know, it would have been so easy. You know, they were down in Aviano, Italy.
Yeah.
They're available.
Yeah.
And people say, well, people actually have said, well, they couldn't get there fast enough. Folks, we're talking about really fast airplanes.
Yeah, yeah, these okay. things move real quick. Yeah. I've been in them.
Yeah, I think
supersonic.
I think they said 51 minutes was what they figured it would take to get them on station there. If they had been there,
yeah,
that... Those mortar rounds that killed so many of them and wounded so many of them, they would have never happened.
Yeah.
They would have been gone. They would have eliminated them, and they would have only had to hit it one time.
Yeah.
Over, back, done. So, once again, the lack of somebody as a leader to make that decision is what resulted in the deaths of people unnecessarily, and that leader, unfortunately, was somebody called Hillary Clinton,
mm-hmm.
who didn't have a clue what to do.
Right.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah. And see, you're exactly right about that. And here's where I'd take at least a little bit of exception to what JJ said. And what I mean by that is this, that people are thinking about Hillary Clinton and do understand that she played a big role in the disaster that we know as Benghazi, right? Benghazi, and that she lied about it. People do know all of that. That's why they are going to such extreme lengths to make Donald Trump be the one who's incompetent. Mm-hmm. This gets back to what I was saying earlier in the show. See, she is the flawed candidate. She's already on the wrong side of the good versus evil equation. Mm-hmm. So they have to kind of flip the whole thing around and make Donald Trump that much more evil to somehow try to make her look like the more reasonable one.
It's exactly what they're doing.
It's like Superman's Bizarro world. Right. Everything's backwards, upside down.
And it's up to us and Trump not to let them be successful. He's fighting. We have to fight, too. And we'll do some more fighting on the other side. Al, stay with us. We'll get to you when we get back.
Ladies and gentlemen, step right up. Let's go see the elephant. When I'm a road.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to the American Adversaries here on 660 AM, 105.5 FM. Dr. Ken sitting here on this side of the desk. You know, we must be giving something away for free or doing something right, because we have had a parade of people just walking through the studio today. This is awesome. It's one of the best Fridays I think I've been involved with.
They're,
you know,
they're all coming in to see you.
No. Okay.
That is Dr. Ken V. Heck. And you're back in school, aren't you?
Yes, we are. We started on Tuesday. Monday is when the school actually opened. My first classes were Tuesday.
All right.
Yeah, Tuesdays and Thursdays is the semester.
Professor at UCF.
Yep.
And we also have the commanding general of the American Adversaries Army, Colonel Danny McKnight, the author of the excellent book Streets of Mogadishu. You really need to have a copy, especially if you have any young people in your life. You know, they're beginning to explore making decisions for themselves, streets of Mogadishu will be, let me just put it this way, you will not regret getting this book into that person's hands. And you can get that book by going to DannyMcKnight.com, and he'll even autograph it for you. That's DannyMcKnight.com.
And it's an easy read, Chris. I wrote it. It has to be, okay?
it's an excellent read, and it's, amongst other things, it's all about leadership and leadership qualities and doing the hard right thing in life instead of the easy wrong thing in life. And, boy, if you stick to those principles as are laid out in this book, you will be successful at whatever you do. And you won't find yourself in jail either.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, a lot of people who do the easy wrong things in life, one way or another, end up in the pokey.
Mm.
All right, 407-774-8255 is the number. We also are joined in the studio now by Kathy Gibson. Kathy is a candidate for Orange County State Committee Woman. Kathy, how you doing?
Oh, I'm doing fine, Chris.
All right. We're going to get an update from her on her campaign here in just a minute, but we have a caller who's been holding patiently throughout the news break. So let's bring on a new caller, Chris. Thank you for calling tonight, Chris. We appreciate you calling in.
Welcome aboard.
Yes, sir.
Hey, thank you. How you doing?
Excellent. Thank you.
Thanks. Yeah, I just wanted to, I just recently discovered your show and stations and awesome programs. Love it.
Thank you.
But I wanted to express an observation that I made just as far as the irrational liberal logic. On one hand, scientifically, they embrace, you know, Darwinism or evolution, which is survival of the fittest. And then socially, though, they want to embrace, say, the weakest element of the population. So just seems to me to be a contradiction and evidence of, trying to rule emotionally, or I'm not sure exactly, but it seems to be not adding up.
Well, you're on the right course. I think that what they're doing is they are ensuring that they rule, but through both emotion and ignorance. They want to keep people as dumb as possible, so that they are as beholden as possible. They even have a phrase for it. They call, for instance, the blacks, in terms of a voting demographic, they call them a captured group. And what they mean,
ooh,
a captured group, is that means that they're a voting block,
yeah,
they can count on, and they can count on because they've drank the,
yeah,
Kool-Aid, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
A captured group. And of course, to be a captured group, you have to be at one point a certain degree of ignorance as to the real facts of the world. And by that, I mean not just principles, but things as they actually happened. And two, they are captured by the emotion.
Mm.
You know, I've said on the show before, and I'll say it again, what we have today, and this came out in the Dinesh D'Souza's movie Hillary's America, he makes the same point when he talks about slavery and how it was the Democrats who institutionalized it,
mm-hmm,
and it was the Republicans who ended it. And that we have, in today's world, a situation where a lot of black people, white people, even Hispanics, not so many Asians, but those people who are enslaved because they have chosen it. You follow what I'm saying? They have chosen a life of welfare. They have chosen, mm-hmm, a life of dependency.
Learned helplessness.
Exactly.
Yeah, ignorance is bliss, right?
In a way, mm-hmm, exactly. But in that sense, though, they're enslaved and they never go anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And they end up with high crime, low education,
yeah,
the abortions out, you know, the numbers out of this world,
yeah,
and they wonder why.
Yeah, they become believers of what they're being spoon-fed, which is that there's nothing that you can do that will affect your lot in life, so therefore you might as well just give up. And the majority of them do.
And that's the worst part of all, because that means that they have crushed the human spirit.
Yes.
Because the human spirit wants to be free. The human spirit wants to express itself. The human spirit actually wants to be independent, and that is of dependency, not necessarily away from people, but independent of dependency. And they crush all of that with liberal, what we know now today as liberal philosophy.
Mm-hmm.
And but Chris, you make a great point. And I want to thank you again for tuning in to us, and I hope you'll stick around.
This is first time calling?
Yeah. It,
yes,
sure is.
Thank you very much for allowing me on, and y'all keep fighting the good fight.
Thank you. We intend to do. I tell you what, stay on the line, if you will, and give Nick your information, and we'll send you a bottle of Roxy Pacifics. That's a great product that one of our sponsors provides. Would you like that?
Awesome. Thank you very much.
All right.
You're
really
welcome. Good stuff. I use it all the time.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, Colonel, we gave you some for your thumb. How did it turn out? Look, he's still got his thumb.
Still there.
And that, I don't even see where it was.
And now it's just a little red, but the skin's coming back and everything. Yeah, the skin's coming back in, and I play golf now again, and it works.
Hey, there you go.
Was it the last time or the time before that? You came in here?
The time before.
Okay, uh-huh. And on his thumb, he had a bandage that was, speaking of golf, that was bigger than a golf ball, right? And because he had had an infection, and the doctor had to treat it, and I gave him, I carry a bottle in my car, and I gave him what I had. It was, what, about halfway full or something?
No, it was pretty, almost completely full.
Okay.
And the doctor cut it open, and then I started using that, and here I am. That's
there
okay.
You go.
The stuff
great
is
stuff.
It works great. It may work for you, too. And if you'd like to find out more about it, you can get a bottle of Roxy Pacifics at skinfix.us, and you'll see all kinds of testimonials there. People find all kinds of uses for this stuff. Believe me, all kinds of uses. So, and it is safe to use, on even on infants and pets. Okay. Kathy Gibson, how's your campaign going?
It's going well.
First of all, remind us again, because people are asking me, why are these people running for committee woman and running ads on your show? Why do they want to, what is a committee woman? What do they do?
Well, the state committee woman and the state committee man are the liaison for the community to the party, to the Republican Party. And there are a Republican and a Democrat. We have our counterparts in each party.
And so if the citizen wants to go to you to express something that they wanted the party to do or something, that's how it works?
Well, they can come to us, and we can make it known within the local Orange County Republican Executive Committee, and we'll kick it on up the line to the Republican Party of Florida.
All right. So you're running, and how do you think it's going?
Well, you really don't know, but I'll tell you, I've been getting a lot of feedback. We did the Central Florida Gun Show last weekend. And I must have handed out with Lou Marin. We were there together as a tag team. And, of course, we talked to everybody. But then we talked to a lot of Orange County residents. And I had a lot of people coming up telling me, we've already voted for you. And we're pulling for you. And
did they tell you why? Did they tell you why?
Well, Chris, I've been pretty well known in Orange County for a long time. I sit on the advisory board for Legal Immigrants for America. I have been fighting anti-human trafficking for 6-7 years now.
And you do the honor flights?
Do the honor flights. My husband and I co-founded Honor Flight Central Florida back in 5 years ago. So it's in 2011, and we took our first flight in 2012. We've been flying ever since. We love our veterans, and they deserve to be honored because they're really our national treasures.
And so you're running for committee woman. How much you get paid?
Absolutely nothing, Chris.
That's what people are perplexed that there is so much competition for this job and you don't get paid.
You don't get paid a dime. And actually, it's all about community service, public service. And you know me long enough to know that I have had a heart for that for a very long time. I grew up with a servant's heart. That was one of the things that my parents instilled in me, is to serve others. I grew up as an Air Force brat. And then, being a glutton for national defense, I married the U.S. Navy.
That makes Ken feel proud.
I'm
right
smiling.
There next to you.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. My husband rode submarines for 21 years, and that means it's a family experience.
Same here.
Did you guys
we talked
together?
About that last time
we were together.
Oh, yeah.
We did.
Yep.
Cool.
So, and then I served as the Admiral's Ombudsman for Subgroup 6 and Subron 18, about 3,500 families. And when you get to the Admiral's level, you no longer handle the wife who spends the pay within the first 6 weeks. You start handling the spouse, the child, the drug, the alcohol abuse. We do the grief calls. And my specialty was also the rapes. And that's what they sent me out to handle quite a bit with.
I see. Does the committee woman, do the committee woman and man work at all with the legislature?
Not particularly, but I have for a long time. I took my first piece of legislation for the anti-human trafficking up in 2011. I worked with Jeff Atwater, our CFO, and I worked with Senator Kerry Baker, and we got it passed, governor signed it into law. And I've been doing that in Tallahassee, and I go back and forth to D.C. about 3 to 4 times a year, where I work on women, children, family issues. The last time I was up there, we were doing some work on some criminal justice reform back in June.
You mentioned that you were at the gun show with your tag teaming with the committee man position.
Yes, yes.
Does that normally, is that the way it's normally done? You sort of pair off like that?
I'm not sure how they do it. I know that Rich Crotty and Patty have worked together, but Lou Mary.
It is 20 minutes after the hour here on American Adversaries, and you are just, wow, you're so lucky to be listening to us today. I got to tell you, I'm not bragging. I'm just saying we got some great guests in here. It's not us. It's the people who are in the studio. I'm just so honored to be among them.
I like you're the consummate professional. 20 minutes after the hour here.
Well, you know, you got it. You got to let people know. I mean, they're sitting in traffic on I-4. I mean, you know.
That's something. All right.
You kind of got to, you know.
You know, yesterday, by the way, Colonel, yesterday, on Thursdays, we do what's called Contest Thursday. And yesterday, and McBath comes up with the contest.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
All right, so you can imagine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And yesterday's contest was, and we have, we get the entries and pick the winner by the end of the show. And it was, okay, all these email dumps are coming out, right, with Hillary. And so if you got your hands on one of Hillary's emails, what did it say? Right? We had some good ones here. But I just got one from Noster Dennis.
Mm.
He says he found another email, Hillary email, and it was an invoice from Rub 'em Out Waste Management. And then he saw a line item that said Seth Rich Processing and Removal in the amount of $15,000 plus tax.
Mm.
You know who Seth Rich is? He was he was right on his way to an FBI interview.
Yes.
About the DNC fixing the campaign against Bernie Sanders. And as he was walking through the wee hours of Washington, D.C., in a pretty nice neighborhood, I might add, on his way to the FBI, he was shot dead from behind. And only people that the witnesses saw were two well-dressed men who seemed to be walking in his direction. The police initially thought that it was a robbery, quote-unquote, gone bad. However, the fact that nothing was stolen from the man made that a little bit less than plausible to believe. Colonel McKnight, any thoughts about any of that?
Not sure. Hillary approved it, you know.
Yeah. I guess Dennis got the invoice there. Anyway, that was sort of the idea from last night. I want to make just a couple of quick things before we go back to the phone lines. Don't forget, we'd love for you to come out to the Decision 2016 America in the Balance event coming to the Lake Mary Events Center on Monday, September the 12th. That's 2 weeks from Monday. And it's going to be a whole lot of fun. I'm going to be there moderating and perhaps participating in the roundtable event discussion along with Hugh Hewitt, Mike Gallagher, Dennis Prager, and a fellow by the name of John Voight. And it's going to be a whole lot of fun. You all are invited. And there's a couple of ways you can go. The roundtable event itself is free, and everybody is invited to that. And that will begin at 12:30 at the Lake Mary Event Center, 12:30 p.m. And you can get those tickets now at am660theanswer.com. Or if you've downloaded the app into your smart device, you can get them that way as well. Or you can go to the VIP meet and greet reception, where you'll be able to actually get up close, shake hands, talk to these fellows, get your pictures with them. And McBath and I will be there as well. And those tickets are $35 each for the VIP meet and greet reception, and then you'll have VIP seating for the roundtable discussion. Roundtable discussion, once again, is free. The VIP tickets are $35 each. You need to get them, because there is limited seating for each of these events. And that's 11 a.m. The doors open, 11:30 for the VIP meet and greet, 12:30 for the roundtable, all on September 12th at the Lake Mary Event Center. You get all those tickets at am660theanswer.com or via your app. Also, there's high school football tonight. That's right. Apopka's playing Okawee. That's how they used to say it out there.
Oh, yeah?
Okawee. Okawee is the way most people say it. It's a home game. Apopka, you'll find it right up the dial as our show goes off the air. If you don't want to listen to Larry Elder, and he's been off this week, so that's a good reason to listen to high school Darter football. And that starts at 7 o'clock on our sister station, 1520 WBZW. And because it's Friday and we love to give things away around here, let's give some stuff away.
Okay.
All right. Now, last week we had Alex Porto on the show with us, a WWE superstar who now has his own wrestling school and stable of wrestlers right here in Orlando. They're going to have what they are calling the Labor Pains 2016 wrestling event Tuesday night in Winter Park. That's this Tuesday, August the 30th. Yeah, that's Election Day. You can go vote and then go watch some wrestling. It's all sort of the same thing, right?
Yeah.
So you can do that. We have two pairs of tickets to give away right now for free. This event is in Winter Park. Nick has the address and the phone number and everything for you. You'll just get the tickets. You'll just show up there and show your ID, and they'll have the tickets for you at the door. This is Tuesday night. The doors open at 7:30 in Winter Park. Labor Pains Professional Wrestling 2016. This is coming up this Tuesday. If you want two pairs, we have two pairs of tickets to give away to the first two callers at 407-774-8255. You want to see some great professional wrestling. And by the way, B. Brian Blair's niece is going to be there wrestling. Yeah,
yep.
All right?
And they just got back from Japan, she did.
Yeah, and they're going to have like a 12-girl battle royale.
Ooh.
You ever seen a battle royale? That's when they all start. Yeah.
I don't know if I've ever seen 12 women doing it.
I don't think I have either, so that should be interesting. Kathy, you up for that?
Oh, I don't know. I'm going to be watching
the election results.
Election results that night, I think.
By the way, do you have an election party going on anywhere that night?
I believe the Republican Party, the Orange County Republican Executive Committee, has one going, but personally, no.
Okay. All right.
We've been running hard for this, and I think I'm going to go home, put my pajamas on, put my feet up, get a nice cold beverage, and just watch the results.
Chill out, right?
Yeah.
All right, let's go back to the phone lines because Don has been patiently waiting. He actually has a question for Kathy. Don, thanks for calling this afternoon.
Thank you. Ms. Gibson, you've mentioned a long-time involvement in GOP activism, Orange County to Tallahassee and to Washington as well. You dropped the names Rich Crotty and Jeff Atwater. Probably you would also drop the name Lou Oliver, all of whom are long-time establishment Republican activists. And then you say you're a Trump supporter. And what my question to you would be, why a never-Trump? Why not a never-Trump supporter rather than a Trump supporter?
Hey, real quick, hold on real quick. Don, are you a Trump or never-Trumper?
I am a Trump supporter.
Thank God. All right,
absolutely.
Kathy, go ahead.
No, well, Don, lest you get the wrong impression, I started with the West Orlando Tea Party years ago when that was formed, back in 2009, 2010, and I'm one of the co-founders of the Eastern Orlando Tea Party. And in order to have a voice within the party, there were many of us across the state that joined our local Republican executive committees. Why am I a Trumper? I'll tell you why I'm a Trumper. I want to see America go back to what she was. We have lost our country, and we are rapidly losing our country. You know, my husband served 21 years, and when the husband serves or the spouse serves, the rest of us serve right along with him. And we gave up a lot to keep this country free. And I can't afford for my grandchildren, for my children, to see it go down the drain. And I really think Trump has got the right ideas. We need to renegotiate trade deals. We need to do a lot of things, and I really believe that man can bring it back.
And you know, Don, if he gets it up there at the top, he's going to need soldiers down at the local level, right, Colonel?
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Just what Kathy's saying is exactly right.
I still want to be SecNav.
I was going to say that probably Ms. Gibson's comments resonated with you, Colonel McKnight.
Absolutely. Exactly what she said. I
just met her tonight for the first time, and she's got a new friend that she don't even know about.
Hey, Don, have you gotten some Roxy Pacifics yet?
Yes, we have.
How's it working for you?
It worked great. My wife uses it.
Hey, I love it. Stay on the line anyway. Let Nick get your phone number and address, and I'll send you a $20 gift card to Cafe Positano. How about that?
I like Pasquale Barba very much.
All right. Well, you're going to go there with 20 bucks in your pocket.
And you should too. Don't let me come and get you, because I'll kick your booty with my tootie fruity.
There's going to be some tootie fruities flying around at Labor Pains maybe coming up Tuesday night. We have given away one of the pairs of tickets, but we still have a pair of tickets to give away to Labor Pains. This is Tuesday night in Winter Park. This is professional wrestling. It's great family entertainment, folks. It's going to be a lot of fun.
I love wrestling.
Guys, there's going to be a 12-woman battle royale. Okay? All right? Colonel, why are you looking at me like that?
can't one guy be in that, too?
Would you love to be the referee?
It's that one where you had me at hello.
Labor Pains. Jeff Sinis and I are going to scoot over there after the show, so you might see us in the crowd screaming and hollering.
I'll pop over after class.
Clanging an old cowbell. We used to go, when we were kids, we used to go to the wrestling matches that used to be called the Eddie Graham Sports Complex. Do you remember that? Have you been in town long enough to remember that, Kathy?
I don't think so. Okay. I mean, we've only been here 31 years, so.
Well, it was still around but I don't think I think the wrestling, they'd stopped doing wrestling there anyway, but there was this one old woman who used to go every week, and she'd sit in the front row right there at ringside, and she had this big cowbell she would ring. And, oh, boy, if they wrestlers didn't, it was a guy she didn't like, and they'd get too close, she'd go to wailing on it with that cowbell.
I think every local established wrestling place, they were all localized at that point in time, had one, because we had one in Pittsburgh. Her name was Ringside Rosie.
Is that,
And she had the cowbell, she had the hair curlers. I mean, you know, it was hysterical. Yeah, but she was right there at the ringside every weekend.
Exactly. So Labor Pains, Tuesday in Winter Park. If you'd like a pair of tickets, call us right now at 407-774-8255. Kathy Gibson, you were just telling us didn't seek them, but you got a couple of pretty significant endorsements.
I was surprised. I was driving home from church on Wednesday night, and I had a friend that I didn't know was behind me, and she was flashing my lights, and finally she called me. She said, "Why aren't you listening to me?" And I said, "Well, I didn't know it was you." And she said, "Have you looked at your Facebook page?" And I said, "No." She said, "John Stenberger has written an endorsement for you." And then when I walked into the Orange County Republican Executive Committee general meeting last night, Pastor Jerry Creel came up to me and told me that the Central Florida conservative pastors had endorsed me. And, you know, I wasn't seeking endorsements because I do this because I like what I'm doing. I like serving people. But I was very happy to receive those endorsements. It just makes me feel good that people recognize what I do. And, you know, Don called and he said something about me doing Tallahassee and D.C. for the Republican Party, and I don't do it for the Republican Party. I do it with the Concerned Women for America 535 Project out of D.C. We go up there several times a year, and as citizens activists, we go up and we work on different projects. And when I go in up here in Tallahassee, I served as the Florida Federated Republican Women's legislative chair for several years, but I've done some things for the Tea Parties and other organizations as well.
All right. That's Kathy Gibson. She's running for, this is Orange County. It's on the Orange County ballot, committee woman. And she's trying to partner up with Lou Marin.
We have tag teamed on this. But, you know, hopefully we'll both get elected. But I look forward to working with whoever the state committee man is.
And the early voting, of course, is going on now. It'll wrap up on Sunday. And then actual election day is Tuesday. So we'll know the results Tuesday night.
Yes, we will.
And good luck to you. And as you said, you're married to a man who was in the Navy 21 years.
21 years. 21 he rode years. Subs, yes.
And, of course, Ken, you were in the Navy. You rode subs, too. Is that the way you say it? You ride subs?
Ride subs,
Ride subs.
All right. That's it. Or ride the boats.
What did your husband think? And Ken, we'll start with you. What did you think when you saw that the Iranians were harassing a couple of Navy vessels here this past week? I guess first it was a destroyer and then a patrol boat.
Yeah, I was wondering why there wasn't debris in the water.
Debris in the water?
Yeah. Why we just didn't blow them out of the water. I'm sorry, you get with that close, you break the protocols, you ignore the call signs, you refuse to answer. That's an act of war. Bye-bye.
Evidently, the first occasion, the destroyer captain blew the ship's horn a couple of times, and that caused the Iranians to go away. The next day, though, they actually fired a couple of warning shots.
Mm-hmm.
After they
flares.
Fired, flares. What does that mean?
They just fired flares across their bow. That's all. Right. They weren't warning shots.
Okay.
That was just, okay, we're going to light you up, and so we know where you are. We can see you.
And
you know,
letting you know that we're watching.
You're now been targeted.
What would be the next step? Normally, in a situation like that,
you know, they keep coming. You open fire. Okay. You don't give them a chance.
All right. And isn't that left up to the skipper's discretion?
It completely is up at the CO's discretion. We were pulling into the mouth of the Cooper River, coming in from patrol, and there was a Russian AGI just sitting there, an intelligence gathering ship. It's dressed up like a trawler, but it's got all these antennae sticking off of it.
Right.
And he was sitting right in our path. And we were making a left-hand turn. The CO signaled him, said, move. You were coming your way. And he just sat there. The CO said, move. And they sent him a flash traffic. They sent him the quartermaster, give him the lights and, you know, Morse code. Didn't do anything. The CO ordered a left-hand turn, said, open the barn door.
What does that
mean?
That's
the door that opens up to allow seawater to come into to the torpedo tubes. Yep. And now you can open up quietly or you can slam it open.
And when you slam it open,
and you know they're listening.
Right.
They know what's happening. He said, you let them know that we are a U.S. naval ship, and we intend to fire. And the next thing you know, the engines kicked on, and they got out of our way. I would have followed that man anywhere.
What'd your husband say when he heard the stories?
He was not a happy man. He really was not. He agreed with the doctor here. And that was common practice, because we were stationed in Charleston twice, and the Russians like to sit right outside and gather intelligence.
And when you don't respond, you just invite that sort of thing to continue, don't you, Colonel?
Well, this is a repeat.
Yeah.
That's the problem. This is a repeat. We had that situation before where they were held, you know, as prisoners on their own ship.
Yeah.
The sailors were held, you know, and that still bothers me to even think about that. But this is now a repeat. So this isn't the first time. This is the second time.
Well,
and I agree with what Kim said. At some point, you just got to make a statement. And the statement is, I blow them out, one of those three that's out there running around me out of the water, and see what they do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh. It's just, it's so aggravating, you know, to be, when I was in, and fortunately, I had the good fortune, actually, the misfortune of being in under Carter, but then the great fortune of being under Reagan. And we did things then.
Right.
You know, and it to see what we've degraded to right now, it's just, it's unsettling and very disturbing.
I see. The Navy obviously is depleted, as well as the Army and the Marines and the Air Force.
Well, and the morale.
And that's what I was leading up to. And we have this, of course, election coming up. We're going to choose the commander in chief.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, Hillary's out there making a big deal about, and she has help with the liberal media, that Donald Trump doesn't have the temperament to be commander in chief. We've disputed that. But I want to ask you both as military men, do you think that people who are in the military now, should Hillary Clinton become president of the United States, would begin to look about getting out? And what do you think would be, I know the morale would go down. What would be the result of the morale going down like that?
If I was still in the service, if I was still in the Army, and Hillary Clinton became president of the United States of America, I would immediately remove myself from the military, because I cannot serve for somebody like that, okay? And some people say, well, you need to stay there to make sure that it's done right. No. I cannot serve for somebody like that. I like serving for Ronald Reagan, the Bushes. That's who I like. I don't like what we even have today, because it's also awful what we're dealing with for now 8 years. And that's the reason our military is in the situation it's in. And that's wrong. No, I couldn't do it. I'll be honest.
Yeah, and I'll speak from the other side of the table because Colonel McKnight is an officer and he's commissioned, right? And he has the ability at any point in time to resign his commission. I was enlisted. I signed a contract. I have X amount of years left on my service. I can't just say, hey, nope, done. We have to go through and tolerate that. But it may affect the people whose time is going to come up during that presidency, whether they want to reenlist or not.
Right.
You see? So that's where you run into some issues. And if a person knows that they're getting out, their productivity may tend to drop a lot.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I can imagine, you know, if Donald Trump gets to be elected president, he's going to find smart people put around him to rebuild the military, to make America great again and strong again and secure again. If Hillary Clinton gets to be elected president, her main priority with the military is probably going to be, and I'm serious about this, redesigning the uniform.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Because it is too aggressive.
Aggressive. Mm-hmm. Correct.
We're trying to build bridges. How can you build bridges when you look like, you know, RoboCop or something, right?
Yeah.
So you can imagine what she would do to the military. Look what Barack Obama's done to it.
Absolutely.
And can you imagine her?
No.
The proper military attire will be the, what did Aubrey Kahn call it? The oven mitt? The toaster cover?
Yeah.
Right? She'll have them all looking like her.
Yeah.
Well, you got to remember when Hillary's husband was the president, he was the one that they told General McCaffrey, who was the drug czar,
yeah,
next time you come back to the White House, do not come in your uniform.
That's right. Mm-hmm. That's what I mean.
And
I'm
that's
serious.
What we saw then. Do you think we wouldn't see more of that?
Yes, you would.
I am dead serious about that.
Now, Chris, you mentioned it earlier. Let's see if we can put you in the same position that the Colonel and I would be in this situation. It would be a lot like what happened to Dr. Drew. Right? We knew that Reagan had our back. We knew that.
Yeah.
You know? And it would be like if you didn't have the support of your production manager, if you didn't have the support of the radio station general manager, and you couldn't say what you really felt like saying on this microphone, if you had to watch yourself every step, every syllable, every word.
That wouldn't work. That wouldn't last 10 minutes.
But that's what it would be like to put it in a complimentary situation.
Yeah, I understand. Yeah. Yeah, it gets to the point where you don't want to be there.
How many days would you want to come to work?
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah, the beauty of this is that we can come in here and we can say what's on our minds, mm-hmm. as long as we don't cuss or threaten anybody's life, mm-hmm. right? And so... I am very grateful with the station manager here, Bill Files, giving us the chance to have this show. Mm-hmm. That's pretty extraordinary, especially when he knew that it might not work.
Yeah.
Right? So he took a big chance on us. But we were talking about Hillary, and you just mentioned Dr. Drew.
Mm-hmm.
In case you didn't hear us earlier in the show, Dr. Drew, his show on the cable channel, has been canceled after 6 years.
Yeah.
And it is coincidentally just 8 days after he was on a radio program, not on his own show,
mm-hmm.
but on a radio show in an interview. He was asked about Hillary Clinton's health because Donald Trump has brought it up in an indirect fashion and others have addressed it. And we have addressed it right here on this show. We had Dr. Ted Noel, retired after 36 years, MD at Florida Hospital. And we... quote-unquote, diagnosed Hillary Clinton with Parkinson's disease.
Mm-hmm.
And lo and behold, and one of the email dumps that came out, Dr. Drew got run off. That ain't going to happen to us.
Yeah.
All right? Dr. Drew didn't have as much control of his situation, I guess. But the one of the WikiLeaks email dumps that came out just this past week with Hillary Clinton emails revealed that her top aides were inquiring and discussing certain drugs and treatments for, guess what? Parkinson's disease.
Mm.
And one of the drugs that they brought up was Provigil. Have you ever heard of Provigil?
Yeah, Provigil, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Can you explain?
Yeah, it's one of those, it goes in and helps the neurotransmitters actually make it into the areas where they're deficient. It's sort of like an L-dope. It increases the production of dopamine. But it also allows for those neurotransmitters to stay out in the neuro synapse longer so that they can get through to the other neuron. What happens is the transmitter has to go from one to the other. It's an all or none. If you don't get all of it, the signal stops and the tremors start and all these other things kick in. But if you give it just another millisecond longer, then the connection continues. So it's an aid like that.
Is it a form of an amphetamine?
No.
Because some people that take it have trouble sleeping, do they
well,
not?
Well, yeah, but you're going to have trouble sleeping when you have Parkinson's anyway. It's just a probable side effect.
Commander-in-Chief, with a disease like Parkinson's, what about that, Colonel?
No comment. How could you do that? How could you let that happen? Because if that happened and somebody was in office and became, debilitated because of something like that, wouldn't they be replaced? Wouldn't they have to be replaced?
You would think.
Sure. So why would you even want that to be the start of a presidency?
And, when you say that, it dawns on me that there's two dynamics, if you will, at play here. One is we as voters should know about this and should take it into consideration.
That's
because
correct.
Exactly what you're talking about. But if you think about it, so shouldn't Hillary Clinton. Should she not? In other words, if she really cares, like she claims she cares, about the nation and the country and about the military, shouldn't she be honest with us about her health? And if she does have this disease, shouldn't she be the first one to say that disqualifies her for the job? If she really cares, like she claims to?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You see what
you're
I'm
right.
saying here?
Yeah. You're right.
All right, let's see what James has to say. Then we have to take one more break tonight. James, thanks for your patience holding there. We appreciate it.
Hey, Chris, I'll try to be relatively quick. I heard you talking about Hillary ordering the changes of uniform. Wanted to let you know something that I've read. Obviously, I'm not a Hillary insider, and I don't have a track to her direct thought process. But from what I've read, Hillary had as her signature accomplishment that she wanted to have the peaceful overthrow of Gaddafi as her signature
achievement. Yes,
achievement. And because of that, she did not want to have the optics of the military having to go into Benghazi, and that was the reason she kept changing the uniform. And if you put that in the bigger context, we've talked about it before. Is that in order to expand the caliphate, what they wanted to do was rid themselves of the regional strongmen or dictators, which Gaddafi and Mubarak both were regional strongmen.
Yeah.
So she was ridding herself from, she was ridding the area of the people who would impede the spread of the caliphate. Now, that brings us back to yet another person involved in this, and that's the hold until money arrives. Person,
Huma Abedin, that's our girl,
who constantly advises Hillary, and of course she would be advising Hillary to do things that would support the views of the Muslim Brotherhood, since her mother, widely known now, worked on the newspaper. Her father was working with, I don't remember if it was Hamas or somebody
mother,
else.
The Muslim Brotherhood, the Brotherhood itself.
In Pakistan. No, not Pakistan.
In Beirut,
yeah.
I believe, is in Lebanon.
He was working with the people over there.
Yeah.
And the Palestinians. He was working with the Palestinians.
Right.
And Hillary has let it be known that her sympathies are more with the Palestinians than with the Israelis.
Yeah.
So when you put this in the big picture, here we've got a Muslim operative, Huma, who's feeding information into Hillary. And, people can call this a conspiracy theory, but, it's actually what happened.
Right.
And, Hillary works to remove the regional strongmen, which allowed the spread of the caliphate, which allows the Muslim Brotherhood to expand. She's also showing preference to Huma's father's group.
yeah. and against the Israelis, who have traditionally been the only true allies of America in the region.
Yeah. Well, you're just,
and that's what I had to say, and thank you for letting me say it, and I'll get off so you can carry on.
All right, appreciate it. Yeah, you just outlined a whole bunch of slew of reasons, once again, why we can't let this woman be president. We have to do everything that we can to prevent that sort of thing from happening. All right, stick around. We got one more break and one more segment to go. And don't forget Apopka football. They're playing tonight at 7 o'clock, our sister station, 1520 WBZW, live. Roger Franklin Williams, Joe Ferrero will be calling the game. It'll be a lot of fun. We'll be right back. All right, we're back. For just a few more minutes here, the weekend is officially here.
Oh, yeah.
All right. And we don't have enough time for another phone call. I got one more question I want to ask of the Colonel and Ken, because both being military guys. Joe Biden, I believe it was yesterday or the day before, and made an announcement at a rally or a fundraiser somewhere that President Obama will close Gitmo by January. Which means they're another 60. And once again, the less they get there, they are the worst, and then the worst, then the worst, and then the worst of the worst, mm-hmm. right?
Correct.
And we're down now to the worst of the worst at 61. They'll all be evidently released to other countries. And we're paying money. This is ransom in reverse.
Yes.
Where we're paying ransom to get them to take these prisoners from us. And then, of course, they're probably going to end up back on the battlefield. Colonel?
You think they'll be back on the battlefield, huh? Do we really question that? Because didn't Bo Bergdahl, what he traded for five?
Yeah, he was.
But they had promised, President Obama said they promised they will not go back into the fight. How many of them have gone back into the fight positively identified?
Every one of them.
Yeah.
Every
four out of five for sure. Mm-hmm. But
yeah.
So guess what? Do you think this will happen again? Absolutely, Chris. You've already said it. Yes, they will go back into the fight.
Yeah, it's one of the things that you look at. Well, let's just take what happened with, we were talking about the Navy, right? Yep. Didn't we just give Iran $400 million?
No, it was $1.7 billion.
$1.7 now that they gave them out of that fund that nobody knows about.
Right.
Right? And this is their reactions, you know? So do you really think that you're going to take these 61 people and give them to those countries and say, here, you watch over them, and they'll go, oh, sure.
But you mean to tell me that after all these years down there, a good eating, and we gave them Qurans and rugs to pray on and everything, they haven't been rehabilitated?
Hmm. Okay.
The recidivism rate is obviously extremely high. This is the stupidest thing that the man could do. But one reason why I think they're moving even harder now than ever to do this is because a couple of weeks ago Trump said he would keep it open and refill the
place. Yeah. Well, I have to bring it in. I worked with Dana Summers, who was the editorial cartoonist for the Orlando Sentinel. I can't draw to save my life, but I have great ideas. And he drew one of my ideas, which had two guys sitting in a cave, you know, with an Osama bin Laden picture behind him saying, whatever this guy's name has got meals, hot meals, a cot, and things like that. And one guy goes, Club Med. The other one goes, no, Gitmo.
That's what the way they had it.
Yep.
So, all right. That's going to be about it for us tonight. Kathy Gibson, once again, good luck on Tuesday.
Thanks, Chris.
And what do people have to do when they live in Orange County?
They have to vote for Kathy Gibson for Orange County State Committee Woman on August 30th. Thank you.
Who's your teammate?
My teammate is Lou Marin.
All right. Yeah. Ken, always
fun. I can go vote for her.
That's right.
Orange County. Thanks, guys.
I can't go vote for her, but I sure did like her getting to meet her tonight, I'll tell you that.
All right. It's always a pleasure and honor to have you with us, Colonel.
You bet.
Night, everybody.
See ya.